tears and rejoice in each victory in his family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joy dares with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.
From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong.
I'm so glad
dismiss our children to Children's Church if they're going. Amen. That brings me joy. I love singing with my boys. Sometimes it can be like pulling teeth to get them to do stuff, but thank the Lord for them. Take your Bible, if you would, please.
Matthew chapter 5 this morning. There you go. Matthew chapter 5. I do want to say again, happy Father's Day to each father that is here. And we have a special gift for you that I'm going to hand out here in a few minutes. In fact, we can go ahead and do that now. Brother Goodwin, Dad? Oh, he ran off. Okay. Brother Fielder, can you help with that, please? Okay. I think they're right underneath you, Kim. Underneath, right here. Okay, there's a basket right back there. The basket in the back row. Bring those on up to the front, and then we'll have the fathers here stand to receive a gift from the church. Now, if there's a man who's not here, we're going to hand some of those out at the men's banquet. If I'd like to have our fathers stand, if you wouldn't mind, please. If you're here and God has gifted you with that privilege, I'm going to ask you to stand. So right here on the front row, Brother Bob Fielder, if you go ahead and hand those out to the gentlemen that are standing. Okay, we'll give it to him. Yeah, he's definitely a father. Brother Rob, there you go. Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you, brother. Once you receive that, all right, good. This is a gift from Independent Baptist Church. I was thinking about what to get for our fathers, and I thought, what dad doesn't need a flashlight, right? Every dad, where do they go? As soon as you get a flashlight or you get a light, where do they go? Your kids take them. So if you're a father, you know, and maybe you have raised your children and they're gone, and they send their grandkids definitely take them. Okay, now there's a little tab you got to pull out to activate the battery, And this says Independent Baptist Church on it. It'll fit in your pocket. I've used mine already working underneath the car. This one's nice because you can hold it in your teeth when you're working. It's nice and light. Some flashlights are too large to do that. They don't think about it when they make them. It has to fit in your mouth, right? And I just wanted to, let's go ahead and just greet our fathers. I thank the Lord for the dads that are here. Thank you, gentlemen, for the role that you play in society. You may be seated. And I thank the Lord for my dad. He blessed me, and he's just been so good to me. You're there in Matthew chapter 5, and you'll understand here in a second. It does tie in with the message. Verse 14, Jesus is speaking. We'll read the passage and then move on. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Matthew 5:15. Verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, I think about the role that we as believers are supposed to hold in society today. I believe this scripture passage definitely captures that, makes it extremely clear. Ye are the light of the world. We're to be a source of truth, a source of direction, of revelation to the world around us, lost in the darkness of sin. But you know, this is Father's Day, and as it relates to men, I believe that we ought to shoulder that especially in a unique capacity. The message is even more vivid and timely. And now more than ever, we're to embrace the role that God has given men as fathers and leaders in society. While it's dwindling and it's not seen in the world at large. Grandfathers, leaders, caretakers, and husbands, to demonstrate God's design as the light of the world. Now, I use the word role, and I understand that word role is kind of, it can be controversial today. To suggest that certain people have roles that they are to fulfill that are different than others. As a result of pop psychology gone wild, our society is trying to dismantle all remnants of biblical roles in society. And they call it different things. We've reached a point where being a gentleman can be referred to as toxic masculinity.
Yeah,
I've heard that. I saw a commercial, you know, get rid of this toxic max. What in the world? It's considered hateful to speak truth if you're categorized as a majority. You can't say that. You're a majority. You have this power as a majority. Really? We claim to be more scientific than ever before, but we embrace the idea that gender has nothing to do with biology. These are principles in Scripture. I'm serious. And he's laughing. And it can be funny. It would be funny if it's not true. And you know what that means? It means that we as believers with the truth, we need now more than ever to shine the truth in the world. As a result, our young people have no idea what it means to have godly masculinity or biblical femininity. In an age where information is more accessible than ever, we're more confused than ever. You say, well, what's the answer? Well, I believe that God wants His people, and I'm going to say His men this morning. Yes, everyone here, this is applicable to you, but men, this is definitely applicable to us. To know the truth, to walk the truth, to speak the truth, and to avoid hiding the truth of God's Word. To function as truth in an era of confusion. He wants us to provide direction in the darkness. That's the title of the message this morning, Direction in the Darkness. Would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Lord, please help me this morning as I preach this, that we would internalize these truths, that we would see, Lord, how that we are to function, and we would do so speaking the truth in love. In your name I pray. Amen. Notice, first of all, our identity must be understood. Our identity must be understood. Verse 14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, don't miss the significance of these statements. See, the setting is that Christ is teaching his disciples, and then he's thronged by the masses, as so often is the case. And in the beginning of the chapter, he comes to a mountainside. He climbs a mountain, and those that are interested in learning from Jesus, the disciplined ones, the disciples, if you will, they followed him. And he sat down on a mountain to teach them. The first few verses, in fact, verses 3 through 12, are what we call the Beatitudes. They're character traits that a Christian ought to have. They're the blessed. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. These things that are the attributes of Jesus Christ. And he challenges his disciples to have them. And then all at once, he points to them and he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill." Guess where they're sitting? They're sitting on a hill, overlooking the town below them. And the word picture is not lost on them, though it might be lost on us if we're not careful. He says, "Ye are the light of this world." These multitudes that have gathered around, that are stumbling around, that are as sheep having no shepherd, they need direction. You disciples, you that are close to me, the world relies on you for direction. Ye are the light. Now, this is symbolic, obviously. We're not literal lights. In the Word of God, light is emblematic of truth. And when you hear the word light used in a symbolic sense, think truth. And to a degree, the parallel is real. What light does, truth does. There's a definite parallel. God's Word is truth. And as the Word of God has influenced you, so too you are to influence the world around you. You are the light. But I think it's significant in verse 14, he says, "Ye are the light." He doesn't say you're a light among many. One destination, many roads. Christ never said that. He said you're the light of the world. You know, Christians are the only true light that the world has. Now, sometimes we're not too good. We should be better. But we're the only true light that the world has. See, the reality is that truth has become a victim of agenda today in America. Without the truth of God's word, our world has no hope. I'm going to make some statements, and I want you to think about how these are received in society. And the reception that our society has toward truth, it reflects the amount of darkness in our truth, in our society today. If they have rejected truth, which is emblematic, light is emblematic of truth, that means they have embraced what? Darkness. Yeah. Think about these statements. There is a God. There is a God, but there is only one God. Would that be accepted or rejected? Probably rejected a lot of places. There is a literal heaven and a literal hell. People like to hear about heaven, but to think that there's a literal hell? There is a way to God, but there is only one way to God. Folks don't like that. God has given man his words. Yes, he has spoken, but they are only in the Bible. That would be rejected today in a lot of areas. This is where God's words are and preserved. Here's another statement. God created the world and everything in it in 6 days. That means evolution is false. Ooh, that would be rejected. But you know that's truth and therefore light. God created man and man in the beginning as male and female, designing marriage between one woman, and anything outside of that is sin. It's what the Bible teaches. You know, it's rejected. God creates every human, giving life from the moment of conception. Therefore, abortion is taking the life of an innocent human made in the image of God. It's murder.
Absolutely.
That's truth, but it will be rejected. Morality does exist, but it's not open to opinions and not decided by consensus. That would be rejected. Do you realize that all of these statements are true and they are determined by the truth from the Word of God? You know them, you agree with them, because the light of God's Word has impacted you, and our world has rejected the truth and therefore is in darkness. The world needs what? Well, the world needs truth. Ye are the light of the world. That's our identity. And our life should align with our purpose. Look at verses 14 through 16. If we are the light of the world and our world has rejected truth and therefore is in darkness, then it is up to us to influence this world. That's what Christ is saying. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That's a basket. You don't light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. See, God's desire is to use us to bring direction to the darkness. That's what he wants us to be. The purpose of light is that it brings clarity. No doubt you've experienced trying to see something and you just can't make it out. The older I was getting, as I was living at home, I began to notice that my dad would walk into a room and he'd constantly say, "Turn on a light in here. I can't see anything." I could see fine. But see, his eyes had more miles on them than mine did. And maybe you've reached that point where you realize, you know, you're turning on more lights than you ever did before. You need more and more candle power, as it is. And some of you say, "Pastor, thanks for handing these out. Now I can read my Bible this morning," you know. Light brings clarity. The purpose of light is to bring clarity. It provides direction. It reveals the true nature of a thing, bringing direction. Think about this. God's word, which is truth, reveals the way to God. You were born a sinner. Yes, you could not change that. But you know what? Because of your sin, you're separated from God, deserving death. But God loves you and has made a way through the sacrifice of His Son for you to have a relationship with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me, truth, and therefore light. God's Word reveals it. God's Word reveals the way to live. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not a spotlight, but a lamp, a foot lamp. Light and truth. God's Word reveals the way to be guided by God. The Scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Make sure you're right with God on a daily basis. You wake up, you're right with God, you follow Him, and He'll direct your day. And so God's Word provides direction. It is the light that the world needs, and it reveals error. Light reveals error and warns us of danger. You know, God's Word warns us against behavior in society that creates so many problems. It warns us against the dangers of drunkenness, against the dangers of adultery, against the dangers of fornication, against the dangers of idolatry, of laziness, of the influence of the world. Listen to these scripture verses and think about this. It says, "The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags." Light, therefore, warning. It says of this, of one that pursues intimacy and relationships outside of marriage, someone who is not faithful, of a man that pursues the strange woman, "He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life." How many marriages could have been salvaged? How many lives could have been salvaged if folks would take the warning of God's Word? Warning of these dangers. Proverbs 13 says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." Light and warning and therefore direction. Again, the Scripture says in Proverbs 4, "The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Folks, as we embrace God's Word, as you embrace God's Word, we listen to its warnings, we take in its direction, we're stepping towards the light, and every step towards the light brings more illumination. But when you begin to reject the source of truth, you're stepping into what? Darkness. And the farther you get from the source of light, the less direction you have. The next verse in Proverbs says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." God's desire is for us to bring direction to the darkness. The purpose of a light is to function. You know, if I bought these from a company, if I had bought them and turned one on and it didn't work, that'd be a bummer. The only thing this does is provide light. If a flashlight doesn't provide light, that's it. It's like you had one job and you couldn't do it, you know. I was thinking about it this week because I have children and I'm around children. You guys know what these are? These are safety scissors, yeah. Because somewhere along the line somebody said, "We don't like kindergartners being budding barbers, you know, cutting each other's hair and stylists. So we're going to make special scissors that won't cut hair." I got news for you. They don't cut anything else either. You just made a worthless product. Okay? You had one job. You know what God is telling us in the Word of God? Is that you are the light of the world. You are to function as the light of the world. So if you're not, we're not fulfilling our function. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. True or false? God's word is light. Amen. Does the world read and understand God's word?
No.
No. But you know what they do see? They see the lives of people that call themselves Christians. You're the Bible that the world reads. Now we speak many times and we say we need to speak up for our faith. Absolutely. But you know what? When our walk and our good works do not agree with what we say, you know what it does? It totally discredits everything we say. The number one complaint against Christianity is hypocrisy among Christians. Christians that don't act like Christ. Now, sometimes that's unwarranted and people are just looking for an excuse. But I'll tell you what, sometimes this man doesn't act like Christ. And I know we need to. We definitely need to. You are the Bible that the world reads. You know, people are sick of fake today. The world doesn't need to be impressed. They need genuine. They need genuine Christianity. Genuine. We have fake everything. We don't need fake Christians. And I say this to men. Men, we are to be leaders in this area. We are to be leaders in this area. We are to live out the Word of God in our homes and to be the light of God in our homes. I think of the Word of God in Ephesians. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're so used to divvying out and to subcontracting the raising of our children that we as fathers sometimes forget that God calls us to set the tone in our behavior of spiritual influence in our children. You say, Pastor, my kids are out of the home. That's okay. If you still have contact with them, use whatever contact you have. You take the lead in training your children. We are to live out the Word of God in our marriages, being the light of the world as it relates to treating our family, treating our wife, so that when the world sees us, and not just because of what the world thinks, for our family too. I mean, if you seek to win the world and you lose your family, you've lost a lot. Proverbs 5 puts it this way about our faithfulness. It says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of thy youth. Christian men should be faithful. 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Get to know your wives. Don't, you know, make up that excuse. Well, I can't understand them. Okay, so try harder, you know. Let's turn off the TV, put down the smartphone, and use this thing. Talk, communicate. What's the key to good relationships? Communication. Okay, that's great that you know that, but are you doing it? According to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. God will answer your prayers less if you're not treating your wife right. That's what the Bible says. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 20, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? You know what the Bible's saying? Everybody likes to brag on themselves, but who's actually going to do it? Are we going to be faithful, men? Are we going to be the light of the world as it pertains to this? I have a shirt from Men's Advance, and it says Restoring Biblical Masculinity or Biblical Fatherhood or something like that. And one of the men at the gym, he goes, I got to ask, what does that mean? What does that mean? And it was a great conversation starter. I said, well, the Bible teaches these things. It teaches faithfulness in marriage, husband and wife, you know, leave father and mother, cleave unto your wife, be one flesh. It teaches raising your children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It teaches living out things, not just telling your kids, none of this, do as I say, not as I do. That's not biblical. And he goes, oh, I can agree with that. See, even the world knows. We are to live out the Word of God in our world. 1 Timothy puts it this way. It says, let no man despise thy youth. He was speaking to a young pastor. And sometimes, you know, we say, how can I keep people from thinking things about me? Well, it's by how you live. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. We are to live these things out. Take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 13. I want you to see this. Here's a tremendous passage. It actually uses the word lights and darkness in the way that we live as it pertains to representing Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." A lot of symbolism here. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." By the way, we would look at the first part of that and we'd say, "Wow, that's really bad stuff." And then we come down to the word strife. Envying, oh, those are lesser. No, God clumps them in with some stuff that's pretty heavy. That's usually where it starts. Well, what do we do then? Well, you put all those things off and then you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, because the devil, going about as a roaring lion, seeks to pull you down. It's already got the world. They're in darkness. We are to be the influence, direction in the darkness. Now, as it pertains to this verse in Matthew, I was thinking about this, and I think it's very significant. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." So they're drawing an observation. You are doing something as unto the glory of God, and God is getting the glory. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know what I find is often the case with us as believers? Is that when we think of shining a light, we think of shining a spotlight on other people, you know. Can I tell you that's not what this passage is calling you to do? Now, there might be an appropriate time for us to call out sin. This is calling us to shine a light on Jesus Christ by living Christ out before the world. See, some of us want to shine a spotlight on the world. God calls us to let Christ shine through us. So they don't see a spotlight in their eyes. They look and they see Jesus Christ. Do you see the difference? There's a big difference. Because Christ needs to be magnified. In fact, back in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that we are made in the image of God. He is the original. We are the images. Okay? Almost as if a man were making statues in his own image. You know what statues do? They are to represent the original. So that by looking at the statue, by looking at the image, you can understand the original. The purpose of us being created in the image of God is to represent God. And Christ set about to recreate His image in us when we were placed in Christ at the time of salvation. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fulfill that responsibility as an image bearer. Be a light to the world, direction in the darkness, so that when the world looks at you, though they may not read the Word of God, they can know the Lord Jesus Christ, know that something is different. And then when you do speak, your words are supported by your behavior. Our life must align with our purpose and our effectiveness. I think about this. Do you realize that when you come to light, our effectiveness is determined by our relationship to the Savior? You've probably heard this before, and so I don't mean to be quaint or whatever, but don't let it be lost on you. You're sitting there, no doubt you're thinking, "Pastor, I've heard this. I know what you're saying, but I can't do it. I fail." In our humanity, we fail, do we not? Yes. Yes, we do. God doesn't call you to live this on your own. The world doesn't need to see more of you. They need to see more of Christ. And so we need to allow Christ to live through us. Okay, I've heard that before too. How does that happen? By the way, the scripture says, "I can do all things." That's right. He doesn't strengthen you to do superhuman things. He strengthens you to fulfill His commandments. You know what? I really believe that it applies to this passage in the way that light functions. We are light of the world, but we're not the source of the light. There's two lights in our world today. God created them, two main light sources. Back in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years." God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. They're not just different in their functions, they're different in their quality. One is a source of light and the other is a reflector. We do have the moon at night, but you know what? The moon doesn't have a source of light. It's just a reflection of the sun. It's a reflection of the sun. The sun is the source. And Christian, as it is in nature, so it is in the spiritual realm. See, the scripture says in John chapter 8, Jesus spake again unto them and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the true light. And you know what we are to do? Just like the moon reflects the sun, we are to reflect Jesus Christ. The world doesn't need to see more of me. It needs to see more of him. And really, the light of the moon is dependent on the sun, just like the light in your life, the way that you are in the world, is dependent on your relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be spending more time with him daily. When the moon's really bright, you know why it's really bright? Because nothing is between the sun and the moon. Direct shot to that reflector. And can I challenge you? Yes, you do fail. We're not good lights all the time. But the more time you spend with Jesus Christ, the more he'll shine through you. The more he'll influence you. You ever been around somebody that influences you? Yeah, you spend time around some people and they just set you on edge. At the end of the day, your blood pressure's through the roof and you're on your last nerve, you know. You know that influence works that way. Well, positive influence is the same thing. And the more time you spend around the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the author of Scripture. The more time you listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more time you spend talking with the Lord Jesus Christ, then, friend, I would say that is how you can be a successful light in the world. You don't need to, if we're going to narrow it down, okay, we don't need to think about all these other things. Well, I need to be a light of the world, but I struggle with this area, and I struggle with that area, and I struggle in this area, and I failed in that area. Okay, let's just make it real simple. You need to do one thing. Spend more time with the source of light, Jesus Christ. And as such, you know what? It'll purge out the darkness in your life that wants to come back. And as such, he'll shine through you. You know, in the Old Testament, when God gave his law to the nation of Israel, Moses was called up into Mount Sinai, spent 40 days and 40 nights up there when he received the Ten Commandments. He was alone with God, God the Son, who gave him the law. And you know what? When Moses came down, the Bible says that his face shone. He had to put a veil on over his face. Okay? I wonder what that looked like. Because they looked at him and it was just something that wasn't quite right. It was intimidating for them. It had that much of a real impact. I wonder if we would spend more time with the Lord Jesus Christ. One reason the world continues to grow worse is that they're following the examples that they see. When you turn on the television, you see examples of darkness. You don't see examples of light. You don't. The examples, the heroes of the day, they're largely just people living out darkness, and they're following more darkness. The pop psychology and much what's going on, the solutions that the world has, they're guided not by truth and light, but by darkness. And so they're knowing not at where they stumble. You know what the world needs? It needs to see more of Christ through us, his believers. We need to be the direction in the darkness. You know, as we close, I'm going to ask you three questions. First one is this: do you know the truth? Do you know the truth? Christian, you have the truth there in your hand. You can know more of the truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is not a code book, okay? This is a living book. And as you take it in, God the Holy Spirit will help you and give you discernment. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can tell you multiple times in my short life how that God has worked through his word in discernible ways to guide me in areas that I needed it. Do you know the truth? Know the truth and the truth will make you free. I'd say secondly, is it your mission to be the light wherever you go? Is that your focus? Because that'll really, we can have all these focuses and it's easy to get off focus. It's easy to think just about self. But when you recognize this is your function, say, well, I'm here to do this and I'm here to do that and I should have. No, but this is why God has put you where you're at. In your sphere of influence, in your neighborhood, in your family, at your workplace, in your church. This is what you are to do. Your actions, your faithfulness, your integrity, your speech, your honesty, your forgiving spirit, your gospel witness, your actions should bring glory to God. Does that describe last week in your life? Well, Maybe. Not in this area or that area. Ah, it can describe next week. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So my third question is this: do you know the Savior? See, the Word of God will be darkness unto you until you're indwelt by the author. This is one of the reasons why the world doesn't read the Word of God, because it's jumbled up. It doesn't make sense. Oh, it's just a bunch of fables. Because they're not indwelt by its author. In fact, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. They need God's help. Do you know the Savior this morning? You can have more light in your life. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart. Maybe about an area where He's called you to be a light. And you know this. In your heart, you're thinking, this is what came to mind. A situation, a person, a face. Something you've been struggling with. Christian, make the commitment to be the light that God created you to be. Maybe there's something this past week, or maybe something in your life where you realize, you know what? There's truth that I need. God's Word is the source. Go to the source. Spend more time with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I come to church, I try to worship God, but I don't know that I really know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I'd like to today. Well, friend, now is your time. As the invitation hymn plays, if God has spoken to your heart, do business with the Lord. If you need prayer, I'll pray for you. If you need direction, if you just need to bow a knee and talk to the Lord, that's fine, or you can talk to Him there in your seat. Let's respond. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Word. I pray that You'd help us to honor You. Help us to be direction in this dark world through our actions, that we would represent You through the way that we behave, that the world would see our good works and glorify You. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed?